This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Wade Cowan. Wade is a producer from West Texas, is also a past president of the American Soybean Association. Was there in the writing of the 2018 Farm Bill. Wade Cowan in just a moment. First off, Megan Schweitzer, USDA food price economist on the latest forecast.
Prices for food at home or groceries are predicted to increase by 1.2% in 2024. Prices for food away from home or restaurant prices are predicted to increase by 4.1% in 2024. And prices for all foods, so both grocery and restaurants together, are predicted to increase by 2.3%. in 2024.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today we're joined by Wade Cowan. Wade is a producer from Terry County, Texas, and is a business owner and former president, American Soybean Association, and grandpa, and we could throw in other titles there, but Wade, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, race car driver too.
And race car driver. I forgot about that one. So
you got to have something to do a little fun the way things are on the farm right now.
Well, I'm so glad that you started there because it's not been fun at this point, really, for producers. I can't think of any row crops that have really been performing very well at this point. But you grow cotton, you grow some other crops as well. What's it like actually at the farm level in comparison to other years?
This is as ugly as I've seen it since 85. We've got tremendous price pressures. We've got just soaring cost. And so that's the biggest thing that I can see is if we don't get something done on a farm bill, if we don't get a safety net built for these farmers, for myself, for even the agribusinesses that rely on farmers in this part of the world, it's going to get ugly like it did in the mid-80s. And all of us that lived through that know how things just went south in a big hurry, and they were renting warehouses in Lubbock, Texas to have farm sales that just went on for hours and hours, sometimes days. And so, you know, and to give you a little background on that, I started back in farming in 86 because we had some family members that had went broke. That's no other way to put it. They went broke farming, and it wasn't anything that they were a bad farmer or anything. It was just prices were awful, and prices of what they were buying was bad. And when I started farming that first year, I ended up getting on good cotton about what I can get today. But I could buy a brand new 1400 cotton, international cotton stripper for $14,000. Now the only cotton stripper we've got's $900,000, $1 million. And that's just a microcosm of what's going on out here.
As your input costs have gone up, how often do any of those input costs come back down when the price comes back down? Or is it much like the machinery? Once that goes up, it's not coming back down.
Well, prices are sticky to go up. My education was in economics, and one thing that we learned from the 70s and 80s is that once prices start to increase, that we get to a point where it's hard to ever push them back down. And, you know, I live in fear of the years that we have that are really, really good because it seems like the price immediately goes up. And it never wants to come back down because we saw that in this country. We saw it in 73, really good prices, really good crop. The price of farm equipment made a tremendous jump. It did it again in the early 2000s. You know, I live in fear of those when we had really good prices. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, they haven't held on as long in cotton as they have in some of these other products. You know, corn held on a lot longer. Soybeans has held on longer than the corn. And, you know, it's just tough to get them to anything to come back down. We're seeing cost of fertilizer that doubled during 2021 that, you know, maybe it came back 10% or something, but it's not a winning proposition. Every acre of cotton that you take to harvest this year, I'll guarantee you it's a loss.
You were president of the American Soybean Association, and I know you always got the question of a Texas guy growing soybeans in the middle of a cotton field, and that's a great story in and of itself. But tying this back over into the farm bill, you kind of had the role of not just helping your organization push for a farm bill, but for ag in general. So how does where we are today compare to the passage of the 2018 farm bill, and what does ag need to remember?
Well, the first thing that happened to us in 18 is, and I was proud to be a part of it, of the leadership that said, we all got to work together. You know, when I was president of ASA, the first thing I ever said in a major speech was, we are not going to eat each other on the way to a farm bill the way we have in the past, because this commodity's fighting another one. We've all got to work together, and we've got to realize that we're all basically in the same game, because we're all in production agriculture. And you know, when you break it right down to nuts and bolts, 75% of the equipment we use is the same equipment for everything. It's basically the same planters, the same tractors, you know, same sprayers. It's everything's the same. Harvest equipment gets different, and that's what makes it tough in our area, because to efficiently do what I have done in years is that I had to have three sets of independent harvest equipment. I had to have a grain combine, a peanut combine, and cotton stripper. And so with the prices today, it is just absolutely impossible to maintain those three and have enough acres to justify. But we work together in that farm bill. I still see a hint of we want to work together, but every once in a while we get drug off by politicians who've got their own bent on things and don't like this commodity or think that commodity gets too much versus another commodity. But the major thing we have to do is remember that we're all farmers and we're all basically the same family, and that we've got to work together. And if we unify with that voice, which prices are making us do it, then we get to the point where we get a unified call for help, a unified call for a farm program that actually sustains and promotes U.S. agriculture. And that's what we're going to have to do here. We're going to have to put everybody back together in the play in the same sandbox and quit throwing sand in each other's eyes.
House Ag Committee has come out with their version of a farm bill and passed through the committee, has not yet hit the floor. There are questions as to whether or not we can even get one passed, but from what you're hearing, and I know that you spend some time in D.C. still working behind the scenes towards a farm bill, what are you hearing?
I know that we're going to be back in D.C. in late September. I know that there's still a tremendous amount of support from House members, and I think that support is actually growing now over time. It's whether we can put the Senate and the House together. I think Chairman Thompson's done an outstanding job of trying to figure out what we need to do in this farm bill, which is a little bit different farm bill than we had in 18 when we had better prices. And so we're going to have to, you know, get those things back to where we can bring up that boat and float everybody at a higher level. you look where the price of cotton should be right now compared to cost and stuff, we ought to be $2 cotton, $1.80 cotton. Well, that's a difference in $1 cotton in a pair of jeans and $3 cotton in a pair of jeans. It's not the cost. That end cost is not based on actually what the farmers are getting. It's based on all the increases that occur after it leaves a farm gate. And that's true about so many of these things, whether it be your cornflakes or be soybean meal, soybean oil. We just got to get those things back in equilibrium. And it's going to be a hard road to hoe, but I think that the message that seems to be getting through is there's not enough money in Washington, D.C. to support all the hospitals and the rural businesses and school districts and everything that are going to holler calf rope and gonna start going belly up if you don't do something with the farm economy and let farmers make enough money so that they can pay a tax bill, and then it works for everyone, and it also increases the, you know, what we see in agribusiness. Because in agribusiness in West Texas right now, you can talk to nearly anybody you want to, and things are as tough as they've been in a long, long time. And you can go into these equipment dealers and they say, I haven't seen anybody 4 months. I haven't seen anybody in 6 months that want to buy a major piece of equipment. And it's because you just can't justify it. The bankers are trying to figure out, you know, how did we justify this year? Well, it's a lot of tricks and figuring things a lot higher than what they're probably actually going to be. And that means people are eating up equity. And when you start eating up equity, then the older guys like me, we start thinking about getting out.
Wade, it's always good to visit with you. Thanks for your insight. And again, I hope that we know things will turn around, but we hope it's sooner rather than later. Wade Cowan is a farmer from Terry County, Texas, former president of the American Soybean Association. I'm Tony St. James, and this is the Agribusiness Report.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association proudly presents Your Legacy is Tomorrow's Water. We're joining forces with partners across Texas to restore 50 Playa Lakes, crucial for recharging the Ogallala Aquifer and supporting our unique wildlife. Be a part of this transformative initiative. Visit playasworkfortexans.com for more details. Let's secure our water legacy together.
Sorghum farmers, it's your time to shine. The 2024 National Sorghum Producers Yield Contest is open for entries. Compete in divisions like irrigated, dryland no-till, dryland tillage, and food grade. No matter where you farm, east or west, let's yield greatness together. Contest rules and entry forms are online at sorghumgrowers.com/yieldcontest. Enter by November 26 and harvest the win.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Wade Cowan, former president, American Soybean Association.
Want to turn your truck into the ultimate workhorse or off-road beast? The possibilities are endless when you visit Rascal Supply Co. in Lubbock. Rascal has truck accessories, truck beds, bumpers, bed covers, lift kits, toolboxes, leveling kits, and so much more. Come see us at 10307 North U.S. Highway 87 or call 806-300-8007 for Rascal Supply.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Terry County, Texas producer Wade Cowan.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association proudly presents Your Legacy is Tomorrow's Water. We're joining forces with partners across Texas to restore 50 Playa Lakes, crucial for recharging the Ogallala Aquifer and supporting our unique wildlife. Be a part of this transformative initiative. Visit playasworkfortexans.com for more details. Let's secure our water legacy together.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
What fall fruit favorites will there be plenty of for us to enjoy this season? Fleming Gibson of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service looks at this year's U.S. grape harvest.
We are up 7.7% on production. We did add New York and Oregon back to the estimating program for grapes. That was one of our program changes to add them back in.
Top grape growing state, California, reported a year-over-year production increase. Peach production forecast indicate
up 22.2%. California, which is the largest producing state for peaches, is looking at the highest production since 2017.
Also, Georgia and South Carolina peach production significantly rebounded this year after lower 2023 production due to freeze events. As for pear production,
520,000 tons this season. This will be the lowest U.S. production dating back to 2007.
With weather-related below-normal production for top pear-growing state Washington. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.